Hey doulas, welcome to another episode of the Doula Road Trip Podcast. This is another Deja and Jario edition.
Hey,
and
y'all.
Today we wanted to talk about if we were to start our doula journey over from the beginning today, what are the steps that we would take? I know that people are beginning to either book their doula trainings for 2023 or have taking a doula training in 2022, maybe didn't really get off to the start that they were thinking they would get off to, and so are really looking to really begin, right, their doula practices now that the new year is upon us. And so I thought it would be helpful to talk a little bit about, if we were to begin again, what exactly would we do differently? And I wish that I had an episode like this when I first started in 2019 is when I decided to go full-time into doula work. And so I spent like a year putting the business foundation into my business, for people who don't know. So I really wish there was an episode like this that really explored options like we do with our clients for how you can really birth this doula practice of your dreams. And so that is the goal of this episode, just to jog some ideas, some creativity, and to help people begin to think about what would be the best way for me to do this. How can I honor my capacity? How can I honor my time? And how can I do this in a way that feels good? So super excited to dive in today.
Yeah, my hope for this episode is that y'all hear something different. I think a lot of people in a lot of the doula groups, when they pop in and they say, you know, I really want to become a doula, I'm not sure where to start, or somebody tell me some information. A lot of times the hands-on part of doula work is talked about and kind of, you know, that's described of working with families and the complexities and some of the things that are happening, but not kind of like the business side of things and what can I prepare for. And so I'm excited to talk about this because you're right. Had I known some of these things at the beginning, I would be in a different space, a lot different than where I'm at.
Yeah,
now.
No, for sure. Okay, well, then we'll just dive right in. When it comes to starting your doula business and starting a doula practice, what comes to your mind is like one of the first things? And this is like, I feel like after training, y'all. So we can definitely, you know, briefly touch over training, but I feel like it's once you leave that training that it's like, oh, wow, like, what do I do now? What comes next?
At least for me, I feel like a big thing. It's kind of two mm-hmm. things that I'll just put together. So right after training, I do this with a lot of things in my life personally. I kind of make these like prerequisites for myself of like, here's all the things, the list of 20 things that I need to do before I can call myself a real mm-hmm. doula, or before I can confidently step into motherhood, or whatever that looks like. It's like, here's the things that make you a good doula, good mom. And so I know we had an episode, this was some months ago, about looking like a business versus being in business. So essentially, the first thing when I came out of training, and what I hear from a lot of people, is, you know, wanting to have this completely beautiful, flushed out website, and what's going in the doula bag, and like all these things. And so that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, what I felt coming out of training was, here's all the things that I need before I can get started. And what I wish I would have done instead was focused on networking and collaboration. And so it kind of ties together, but I'll just stop at the first part of coming out of training. A lot of us have these, like, we have the training, but I still need to do all of these other things before I can call myself a real doula and go support families.
Yeah, I love what you said about networking and collaboration. I definitely feel like that goes into the way in which you're practicing as a doula, right? Which is like one of the areas that we want to talk about for sure, because it's so important. The way that you're practicing as a doula, a lot of times people go through doula training, myself included, and then you come out and you start providing the service as a solo doula. And so for me, I was really feeling like that was the only way and that was the only option that I had. I briefly like kind of knew about agencies, but not really. agency model is another way in which you could start a doula practice from the very beginning. Now, I've seen a few times on Facebook where there are doulas who met someone in doula training. They decided that they're going to go in together as, you know, doula partners, business partners, as some sort of collaboration. And they're starting to build an agency from the very beginning, which at the time I thought about, but I wasn't really sure if that was possible. So I definitely feel like solo doula work is fantastic if that's what you want to do. If you are a person who needs that accountability and support, considering starting an agency and considering what model of agency would be right for you to start, and if you should be solo or have a partner from the beginning, it's very, very interesting. And I think it's something that everybody should definitely take a moment to consider. The other piece is that working for a local agency might be better than going solo or starting your own, depending on the type of person that you are, depending on where you live and the options that are in your city. So I know that a lot of people are like, with independent contracting, there are some complexities, and that's very, very true. But if it's the right agency, right, if it is an agency that's booked and busy, sometimes you can get out of your 9-to-5 and just transition straight into another job, quote unquote, where you are getting paid a full-time salary, which is fantastic. I do think, of course, you have to test this, no doubt about it. And a lot of times it'll be an independent contracting relationship, which means you do still have to build a business structure underneath you before you can go out. Now, this does get a little bit tricky because some agencies want people that are experienced, so on and so forth. So again, you really do have to start planning, like, and thinking about what you want to do before you actually go into doula training. It's fantastic. If you've already been, it's not a big deal. You could still figure it out. But just to say, what does this look like? How can this best serve me in my time and honor my capacity right now? I think another fantastic option is doing virtual doula work. So coming out of the gate as a 100% virtual doula and saying, like, I'm going to plant my, you know, services completely virtually. I'm going to help clients all over the globe. Of course, that would be keeping track of, like, the time differences, making sure that there's no language barriers, things of that nature. But if you have the tech, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, then that is another viable option that I really didn't know about and didn't even really consider when I started, but could have definitely happened, especially since I really popped off with, like, providing doula services in 2022. Virtual doula work would have been a fantastic and viable option. So I want people to think about, could virtual doula work for me? Could I be an employee or a contractor with an agency? Should I start my own agency? Should I be solo, or is there someone I know who I can collaborate with? And if I am going to go the traditional route and be a solo doula, that's completely fine. But knowing that those other options exist is definitely something I want to make people aware of, for sure, for sure.
No, absolutely. I think it can help, at least if you don't see yourself being a part of, like, an agency or a collective long term. It's at least a starting place. It's essentially like any other job that you would start, where you wouldn't want to get thrown into the deep end with no handbook on what's supposed to be happening. I think of, like, one of the first jobs that I had before doula work and all the things, I was a hostess at Outback. So I was greeting people at the door and walking them to their table. And so nothing too complicated, but we had a board that we had to look at to see where's the best place to sit people. And this person has too many people, you know, that they already have on their plate. And so I can only imagine if I would have started that, and it's kind of like, welcome, thanks, you know, you're on the team, and, like, go for it. And having to figure it out on the fly on, like, a busy Saturday night when people are there hungry and ready to eat. And so that's a smaller realm of things with, we're talking about food, let alone we're talking about work that involves people and birth and such intimate experiences, that being a part of an agency can really give you some of those learning experiences and people, back to the networking and collaboration that you're talking to, who are already in the work. So I think something else at the very beginning of my journey, if I could have done it differently, was looking for business advice and guidance outside of the doula world. So outside of the doula bubble of what I call the echo chamber of advice, I wish I would have, like, broadened and expanded my horizons to other other industries and other entrepreneurs, because it really hurt more than it helped in the beginning stages of trying to build a business. So I transitioned straight out of the military and immediately was jumping into doula work, like 2 feet, I'm going all in. I didn't really have a transition there. And so we needed the income. This wasn't like a just purely a passion project. It was something I was called to, but it was also something that, you know, we already had this consistent military check coming in. And so trying to transition into that and not having advice that I feel like was in alignment with what I felt was really hard, and having to find, again, solid business advice in really other industries, because our industry is very hush hush with different details about things and very weird conversations around money and pricing. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on that, because I know you did it that way first, of like building a business, seeking that coaching before you even came into it.
I still think, though, if I was to start over, I would have a coach who I had a long-term relationship with. So I definitely did have coaching in 2019, but then once I got into 2020, I really didn't have a coach. And so I feel like consistent coaching and committing to having a coach throughout this process is so, so important. I definitely agree with you that I personally love looking at other industries and listening to coaches and experts in other industries talk about business and marketing. And it's not only because our industry is kind of hush hush, it's also because our industry is giving out marketing advice that's like from the 80s and 90s, which is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll never hear anybody in our industry talk about Facebook ads, Instagram ads, digital marketing. You'll never hear them talk about Google ads or Google My Business. Like, it's so many things that are at our fingertips now in 2022 as we're going into 2023 for marketing. And so I get tired of the same old 90s advice to pull up to a meetup and talk to somebody, knock on doors, like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. So personally, I got bored with it. And I'm like, okay, it has to be people who are saying innovative things about local marketing and global marketing. And so that's why I started looking at other industries. But I will say this, even though I built like a business infrastructure underneath me, I would do that again. So I got my LLC, I got my business bank account, my EIN number, the name of the business, like all of those things I feel like are important when you're thinking about collaborating and potentially being a contractor. So I would do all of that the same. I feel like you definitely need that. I would go to CPR again. I would do the background check again. All of those things I would do again. I think that what I should have done, though, that I did not do, was test my marketing. So I don't care who you work with or how you start as a doula, you need to know how to make your phone ring and how to make your email inbox light up with new inquiries. And I feel like that's a skill that is going to like last you the test of time, especially in this industry. And that's something that I did not do. So if I could do it over again, I would definitely test my marketing. Now, with that being said, if I got inquiries, I definitely don't have to take the client if I'm not in a position to take a client. I could still refer out to other doulas or whatever that looks like, right? But the point is to practice. And I wish I would have done this before I left my 9-to-5, because I ended up going right back because I didn't have the financial money coming in. I didn't have the finances coming in to really justify quitting my job. And when you quit your job too quick, you're going to go right back. I'm just going to be honest. Instead of waiting until there was no safety net and then trying to create something really, really fast, being overwhelmed, being financially stressed out, being in a place of desperation when you're making decisions and on consultations and trying to drum up this, you know, need or, you know, all of these people who want your services. That's something that if you have a 3 or 4 or 5 month lead into your doula training, you could be doing already, because it's so, so important to master marketing. I cannot say it enough. It's so, so important to master marketing. And so many doulas are, you know, I don't have any clients. I can't find any clients. I don't have any clients. I can't find any clients. And it's because they haven't mastered marketing and they haven't really thought about how can I put myself in a position where someone else will bring the clients to me until I learn how, or where I'm still working my 9-to-5 and practicing marketing. I think that the other piece too is that it costs money to run a business, point blank, period. If you are trying to do everything for free, you are slowing yourself down a ridiculous amount, and it is just absolutely unreasonable to think that everything is going to be free. So setting aside some sort of savings that is going towards your business is important. People might say, now how much money should I save? I think that that's something that you will definitely have to plan out, right? First, it's the training, the materials that you need for the training, cost of travel if you need anything like that, child care if you need anything like that. There's the software that comes with running a business, right? So that's your HoneyBook, right? We have that on another episode where we talked about HoneyBook. There's also the filings, right? So if you're filing a LLC, EIN number is free. Sometimes a business bank account is free if you go through a credit union, or it might not be if you go through a traditional bank. There may be a fee associated with that, right? There's the gas. You know, if you're going to be a traditional doula and you running up and down the highways and byways and side streets and main streets, you're going to have to spend a little money on gas or Uber or Lyft or parking at the hospital if you, you know what I mean? So just going through like, okay, how much is it really going to cost me? And how can I make sure that I have enough runway? Something else that's not in doula's budgets is marketing. You can do organic marketing, and that's cute. But in 2022, boo, you're going to have to put a couple of coins up if you really want to market and reach a wider net of people and move a little bit quicker through this process. Nothing wrong with people with that organic market. It's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, if you did need money to pay someone to help you with SEO or search engine optimization to get your website to the front page, or to get your Google My Business profile to the front page so people can see you, right? Or if you did need to take a course so you can figure it out so you can do it yourself, you need to have money for marketing, right? So I just can't say enough like how much coaching is important, how much mastering marketing and beginning to go down that path of understanding marketing and how to experiment in your business and really having the money so that way you can make the moves that you need to make within your business is just absolutely imperative. And like, sis, just don't quit the job until you have all of your ducks in a row and until your business starts making money. If your business is pre-revenue, do not quit your 9-to-5. I don't care what they told you about how you're not dedicated, how this ain't your real life goal. If you ain't quit your job and put all your, you know, all of your eggs in this like entrepreneur basket, like absolutely don't quit your job. Just don't. So, cause you'll be right back. Or at another job. So I just want people to know it's not as rosy in entrepreneurship. It's not as sexy as it looks. So take that advice and do with it what you will.
Ooh, I want y'all to know how many times, if I could go back and count, that you said marketing, because it's that important. It's something that is so incredibly important that it's just not nearly talked about enough, or again, talked about in the way of, like you said, outdated information or things that worked at a period of time that we're in a different space now. So even with talking about some of the, we're talking about simple ad stuff, y'all. So we're talking about stuff, not throwing thousands of dollars behind something. Simple things that even in the town that I live in, it's not really too many doulas here. It's a smaller community that if I put money behind local ads, I'm talking about dollars a day, it's helping the family who searches for doula in, you know, Georgia, doula in this specific area. It's helping you come up and pop up. Yeah. And so since our industry, most of us are not doing that. If you're the only one that's popping up, even that just by itself could have made the difference more than, you know, what somebody else told you to do, which is post 1,000 times, which I'm not getting on social media. I'm not telling you don't do, again, organic marketing. I did organic for a long time. I think the benefit there with organic marketing, you get to see what works and what's getting some engagement and response as far as content. But as far as like getting in front of people who are looking for a specific thing, there are stuff that we're just not doing or not doing enough. So marketing, y'all, marketing. Something else that I would have done differently coming out of training is I would have been way more intentional about who I was surrounding myself with in the birth community and looking at as almost putting on this pedestal. I've been really careful with the circle that I was looking to for guidance or looking to. I think what I did, I don't want to say mistake, something that I did that I might have done differently. I looked at people who had been in this work for 9 years, 10 years, X amount of years, as because they've been in this work X amount of years, they must know all these great things, and kind of looking at, again, looking at people on a pedestal, and finding out the real hard way that just because somebody's been doing something, again, doesn't mean that it's in alignment with the reason I was called to the work or where I see myself going. And so that impacted me business-wise, probably the first year, year and a half, maybe 2 years of my business, just being surrounded by and taking advice from people who it just wasn't in alignment. And I think really slowed me down for the reason that it wasn't in alignment, but I had this like cognitive dissonance of like, well, they've been doing it, you know, they've been doing it longer and I just started. So who am I to want to do it differently? Because on this podcast, we talk a lot about people we're influenced by, again, in other industries. So we talk about like Audrea Richmond, who is not a doula or a birth worker, who is just really a master at marketing. Again, y'all, we talk about Madi. We talk about people who are like completely in other realms doing other things. And those people have been way more in alignment with where I'm trying to go, even outside of them knowing what a doula is, what we do. And so I spent too long taking advice from, seeking guidance from, being surrounded by the wrong crowd of people. And things were slow for that reason. I feel like the trajectory of where I was trying to go was very slow. Coming back to virtual doula work, I spent the first year, year and a half, having people point blank tell me, the people I was looking to as the wise, you've been doing this work, telling me point blank, that is not real doula work. It doesn't work. Don't do that. Nobody's going to want that, telling me point blank, it's not going to work. So guess what I did? I just didn't do it. And I attended these births that I didn't have the capacity to show up for, with a one car situation and a very young child with no child care. But I pushed myself to do things that I couldn't do fully and joyfully, because I was seeking advice and guidance from people who we weren't in alignment. And so stretching myself thin, wasn't enjoying it, questioning, am I really even supposed to be doing this? And it took so long to just say, okay, I'm really going to do this and I'm going to jump into virtual doula work, and I'm going to have to map it out because of the people who I'm looking to telling me it's not a thing. So y'all, just going back to coming out of training, being very particular with who are you surrounding yourself by? Who are you taking in information from? Who are you looking to as kind of like this blueprint for the way you want to grow your own business? Because it can either really help you or sometimes it can really hinder you.
Oh yeah, listening to your intuition is something that is so funny in business and in life in general. I think that sometimes we want to create things that don't yet exist, and so we are looking for someone to give us permission to do the thing that we know deep down inside we're supposed to do, we're called to do, we're supposed to trailblaze or start, because it can be very, very scary to do something that nobody else is doing or that the wisdom and wise counsel of your mentors would vehemently advise you against, right? So yeah, intuition is very, very big in starting and building a business, for sure, for sure. I think that the other piece of becoming a doula and like running a doula practice for sure is going to be money management. And for me, that has been very, very hard, because it is something that I'm growing in. It's an area that I'm growing in my personal life. And so, of course, it's showing up in my business as an area that needed some stretching and some growing in as well, right? Realizing that every dollar that comes into the business is not my money, it's the business's money. And so the business needs money to continue to grow. The business needs money for taxes. The business needs money for savings and emergency, right? And then, you know, of course, you can take whatever small salary that you can, right? Or some people don't even take a salary from their business, right? For many, many years, right, until it gets to a certain point. And so thinking through that piece of it, as far as like, how much is it going to cost to run the machine and how much of the money that I'm charging, right? Now we're talking about doula prices. The prices that I'm charging, are they too low to really sustain the business and also take a salary, prepare for taxes, prepare for emergencies, have savings, invest in marketing? Like, just realizing that that number is so, so important. And once you do the math, it's very, very interesting to see what the percentage is that is actually the owner's pay and how small that percentage can be depending on what you're charging, right? So I just want to bring that up to say pricing is important. Managing the finances in your business is also important. If you do need help with that, there is a free resource, mentorship, coaching, however you want to say it, through a group called SCORE. If you go to score.org, you can get a SCORE mentor who can help you and advise you on how to properly set up business accounts and financing. There's also a book called Profit First that talks about the Profit First business model. It's a little bit, you know, long, and you open up several accounts and it's a percentage of money that goes into each account. Just believe me, read the book. It'll be very, very helpful for those of you who need it like I did when I started. So business finances are so, so very important, and having that money separate, keeping that money separate, and knowing where the money should go after you get paid. And hint, hint, it's not all in your, to transfer it all to your personal bank account like I was doing. So just want to put that out there as well, that business finances are important. And I would definitely say if you're starting out, you should definitely start with that for sure.
I think right along with that, as far as money, I think that at the be not even think I know at the beginning of my journey, something that I wish I would have done or implemented quicker is something I implemented probably 2 years into my journey. Something I wish I would have implemented faster was working on my mindset around just me showing up and being, you know, the doula, being the entrepreneur. I wish I would have taken in a lot of the things that I'm taking in now, which are some of the books that we read, or I know we did like our top books on a previous episode. And I talked about a book that I read called You're a Badass at Making Money by Ventura. Jen. I always jack up, but I thank you, because I say her name all type of ways. Jen Centuro. And it wasn't until I read that book that I actually started having consistent profitable months. And it wasn't just because it went from I'm offering just doula services and now I added placenta encapsulation. Like, it didn't, my income didn't change from month of February to March just because of my doula skills. It changed because of my mindset that I had around what I was doing and what I was offering and putting myself out there. And so again, that was a year or 2 years into this journey that I finally was focusing on my mindset about the way I was showing up. Not just, do I know all the things as a doula, and am I doing ongoing training for doula skills, which is important, but like, am I developing me? Because I can have all this great information and then I will never share it and I'll never talk about it. I'll never put myself out there if I'm constantly questioning myself, if I'm questioning, you know, again, the money that I'm tying to the service that I'm offering. And so if I could go back, I would tell myself way more. This is what we need to spend more time in, is developing self, that self-development that I've really been deep diving into relentlessly this year. I wish I would have started a lot sooner.
Yeah, I want to talk about, just to move it a little bit into like doula process a little bit. I now see this year that you can be the most incredible marketer. You can have 10, 20, 30 inquiries a month. And if you suck at consultations, that will mean absolutely nothing. So I want to say that mastering a consultation discovery call, meet the doula, whatever you call it, this time where someone is interested in your services, has found your services, has raised their hand. Now they're on Zoom with you or in person with you. And you have the obligation to understand them, listen to them, paint yourself into their story, and to really convey and articulate what we do as doulas. If that's something that you cannot do, it does not matter about any of the other things that we told you. And I have seen this firsthand. And I'm sure she won't mind me talking about it because she don't listen to the podcast anyway. So I'm just going to tell y'all her business and my business too. I decided to collaborate with a local doula who I absolutely love. She's phenomenal. And I met her through our doula training that we hosted in Cleveland in May. When I say me, I mean me and the doula trainer and facilitator, right? There were a few doulas who came for whatever reason. She was identified as somebody who was ambitious, was a go-getter, and immediately started going out and marketing herself, trying to get clients. So I liked her immediately, right? I was like, oh, wow, she's really passionate. She came here. She ain't come to play. So I was like, well, we should collaborate. And so she was like, yeah, that would be great. Her being a new doula, I understood that getting inquiries is hard. So I was like, no problem. I will send you inquiries and you'll just pay me a referral fee if they end up booking, right? She was like, cool, I can do that. Long story short, sent her like a dozen inquiries and I'm realizing that like nobody signed. And it's been a while. It's been a minute since I've been to 12 consultations and nobody signed. So I was like, I need to get to the bottom of like what's actually going on. And if I can be transparent, it's the fact that in her mind, new people don't like her. So this is something that has happened in her life where she has come up as the person who women don't like, who women don't get along with, who women are jealous of for whatever reason. So now in her mind, she's thinking, oh, well, when I meet new people don't like me. How do you think that's impacting her when she's showing up to a consultation and meeting a woman for the first time who she's trying to impress and get to like her and, you know, connect with and align with so that way this person can hire her as a doula? You think it's not impacting her? You're absolutely wrong about that, right? If you think that it's not, it's the stories that we tell ourselves, right? And I was completely confused because I met her this year and I absolutely love her. So we had to talk about that. The other thing too is that, and I don't mean this as a diss, I promise I don't. A lot of doulas have not experienced doula support. A lot of doulas want to be doulas because they had a birth or postpartum or some sort of preconception or postpartum experience that is driving them to want to change the industry. So when you're sitting in front of someone and you're trying to describe who we are, what we do, how we help, it's very different than going on a corporate America job interview where you have this resume and you're trying to sell yourself. It's totally different in a lot of ways. And so people are not understanding that, like, you do need to be able to articulate what we do as doulas. And it's not physical, emotional, whatever the three are, because I always forget what even they are because I never say them. So if you're saying physical, emotional support, that's not really giving what it's supposed to give for people to really understand, right? So being able to come into a consultation, to be comfortable, to make someone else comfortable, to allow them to open up, to listen to them, to articulate why you're a doula, what doulas do, how doulas help, remembering the partner if they have one in this conversation, right? Remembering why we're standing in this gap, remembering what your why is, especially for us BIPOC folks that are in this industry to change the maternal mortality and morbidity rates, right? We're not necessarily bringing that up in a consultation unless the person did, because, you know, we don't want to frighten people or give people information that will frighten them. But we do want to make it very, very clear, like, what our why is. And a lot of doulas don't know their why beyond, I had a traumatic experience and I want to prevent other people from having a traumatic experience. That's noble, but also to realize that a lot of other people have that story and you're trying to differentiate yourself from the other 9 doulas that this person interviewed. So consultations are so, 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 so important. You could have thousands of inquiries. You can do thousands of consultations. And if you have not mastered how to really navigate that, you will have thousands of no's, and that will be defeating. And for me, I quit. So I just want to throw that out there, that that is a skill. You do have to get your reps. And so don't think there's anything wrong if you get no's. There's nothing wrong. It's just that you're new and you have to figure out how to navigate a discovery call. So just want to throw that out there. It's an art and it's a science.
So girl, that's what I was about to say. You talking the whole time, I'm like, I kept hearing that word. It's an art. It's an art. Mm-hmm. It's something that is a practiced skill. It's not something that, now I won't say for everybody, but for most people, it's not always something that you know how to navigate. And like you said, in a way that's not just, I think a lot of the times, not to stay on this too long, the interview part, but it's important because I mean, that's the difference between your supporting families or you're not. I think a lot of the advice that's given around that, again, is very outdated advice of just be yourself and just talk to the person. And it's, that's part of it. Yes, be yourself. You don't have to paint yourself as someone else. And yes, have a conversation. It doesn't have to be this very formal. We come in, you know, suits and ties, like none of that. But it's an art and a skill. And it's a way that you, again, describe what we do while really listening. What is this person saying and how do you reflect that back to them? So just know, y'all, it's an art, it's a skill, it's something that is beneficial to spend some time with learning. And, you know, if anything, with wanting to connect with people who've been in the work for a while, that's something I would ask. I think a lot of people want to do the practical doula stuff, like I want a shadow, which is yes, do that. I would say ask somebody, can I do like a mock interview with you, or can I see what that looks like? That could be something way more beneficial right in the beginning than even some of the doula skill stuff.
1,000%.
So something else that we talked about, one of our books that we read, which was The Who, Not the How. Mm. Something I would have done differently at the beginning of my journey was realizing that I don't have to do everything myself. I don't have to try to put on all of the pieces in order to be running this business. I always talk about the fact that you as a solo doula are not Nike Incorporated, right? Or whatever, insert X name company. You are not, you know, you can't fulfill all of these things and be the social media person and the actual doula performing the skills and the admin. When you're starting out in your business, you are that person, right? So I'm not saying immediately you're hiring all these people. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at that all of these things cannot be done to the top performance that you think they can be done with, because there's only so much time in the day. And so recognizing in what areas you can delegate and what ways, again, you can collaborate with somebody where maybe it's a barter exchange, that it's another doula and they have this strong suit here and this is your strength. But really, like, long term, looking at and knowing you can't do everything by yourself, and probably you're not the best person for the job anyway.
Yeah, I love that. I think another thing too that I would do if I was starting over is I would absolutely, under no circumstances, create a website. I would absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I think that I would wait until I supported like 20 to 30 clients before I created a website. And what I would do instead is capitalize on a Google My Business profile, social media profiles, and a landing page, probably on something like Lead Pages or ConvertKit or, you know, one of those software. And I would just create a simple little landing page that said all of the things that I felt like families would need to know, until I really started to have the consultations and build the relationships and understand the questions that people had, the challenges that people were facing, and why they chose me as a doula and what they got from me as a doula. And then I would go out and create the website once I had that information. I think that's the number one biggest mistake that I made, is having money to spend and sometimes spending it on the things that you think will make a difference, and spending a lot of money on the things that you think will make a difference. And then ultimately, in hindsight, realizing that this is not serving you in the way that it could be because of the fact that you built this from a perspective of someone who was trying to get something off of their to-do list instead of the perspective of someone who is actively trying to connect with, align with, and attract families to you. And so if I could do it over again, I would definitely not create a website. I would definitely put something up that was fake, that was very simple, that was very short, and keep it pushing and keep thousands of dollars in my pocket from the beginning. So I give people that advice. People still create websites, and that's totally fine. People can do whatever they want to do. We all grown. But I will say that building a website from the perspective of getting something off of your to-do list rather than understanding what the families that you want to support and that you have joy in serving are looking for will make a night and day difference with the amount of people that contact you and with the amount of people that actually stay on your website. So yeah, needless to say, websites require work. It's more than just building it and now it's up and now I can say I have a website. So lesson learned.
Yeah, no, that's back to checklist. I think on my checklist of things I needed to do was the website. And I want to say I spent maybe a whole month doing it myself. Spent a whole month every day, spending all day every day. First of all, learning how to build a website, right? So again, we getting completely outside of the scope of what I started this work for. And like you said, landing pages, y'all. So if y'all taking where some of these keywords, so marketing, look into marketing. A landing page versus a website, which is just one place. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm offering. Something that can like, you can give people that, yes, they can go to the spot, but websites are not a prerequisite, which is what I was telling myself that I had to have this thing, but without knowing everything that goes into the back end of it for, can somebody even find this website in the first place after I've spent all this time creating it? And more importantly, like you said, does it speak to somebody? It's pretty and it has my face on it and whatever I want to share, but does it make sense? And is it answering a problem that somebody has in a way that they say, yes, you know, I'm ready to book this consultation. So kind of similar to that. And probably the last thing that comes up for me as far as what I wish I would have done differently. I wish I would have taken more responsibility for the fact that it was on me to let people know that, you know, business is open and I'm ready to support people. I definitely had this mentality in my head that doula work and birth work as a whole was so important that people should just know. And once you know, the mortality rate, and once you know how much this impacts your life, like, that's why you hire a doula. And not realizing that, again, back to the marketing piece and really conveying a story and painting the real picture of like, okay, well, how is doula support helping with this beautiful birth experience? I wish I would have taken more responsibility early on that the families I was going to be connecting with, like, that was a me thing and not this people were supposed to be raining from the sky or knocking down my door just because I'm a doula. And I very much had that thought of, and I had to get out of that even specifically with like family and friends. So that was where I hurt myself too. It wasn't necessarily the random stranger who is pregnant. It more so was, you know, cousin X is pregnant and, oh, you don't want a doula, which I find a lot of people talking about of, you know, why don't people want doula support? Or they're asking questions over here and not realizing that, again, just like any business that you might start up, people are going to want something. They're not going to want something. But just the simple fact of, here's this great thing I have, is sometimes not enough in and of itself, which goes back to the marketing piece and getting in front of the people who do want the support that you're offering.
Yeah, I want to speak to that a little bit because you just brought up something that's very, very important. And I think that if I could go back from the beginning, I would definitely identify an accountability partner and to stick with that person on top of the business coach. I feel like it's very lonesome starting a business. Not a lot of people really understand what you're doing when you're going after your passion, when you're changing careers, you're starting a business, you're saying, this is who I am now and what I want to do. And it can be very isolating. A lot of people in your family may not own a business and may not understand and may not even be be supportive. And so having some sort of accountability community or tribe that you can go to just say, this was tough, this was hard, I had this consultation, they said no, I'm feeling defeated, I want to quit, or this awesome amazing thing happened and I just signed my very first client. Just people who can cry with you and celebrate with you and understand and hold space for the new chapter that you're in, because there will always be some sort of resistance when you're starting something new that makes you go, huh, am I doing the right thing? Is this a sign? Am I on the right path? Right. And so when you're in your mind having those conversations yourself, we tend to be much, much more harsh on ourselves. And so just being able to be with people who get it, understand, can pat you on the back, can emotionally hold space for you and just say, like, we get it, we've done it, we've been there, keep going, you got this, right? And someone who could say, hey, you said that you were going to do this thing, like, where are you with it? If you have any questions, you know, reach out to me, or if you have any questions, I know this great so-and-so, so-and-so who you might want to connect with, right? And so I do feel like going further does require accountability. It requires other people. And you could do it alone, but it's definitely tougher. So whatever that looks like, if that is just other entrepreneurs, because I'm friends with other people in business who are not doulas at all, do some crazy dope like things online, offline, and are not doulas, but definitely understand entrepreneurship, have shared things with me, have sent me things, have been supportive, have been my cheerleaders, have been understanding when I say, like, I'm on Indeed this week because this just ain't working out. Like, so I definitely feel like that has been like such an important part of this journey. And so on top of having, you know, doulas and people who you can build with and collaborate with, it's important too to have that extra layer of support, just people who are entrepreneurs who get it.
You know what came to mind when you're talking about that? Sometimes we've connected with people too over this year who have told us that in their specific area, they don't have community, or that the people who are already in doula work are kind of like, you know, it's like a club, like it's us over here. And then, you know, you are over there. And so people have talked about that feeling of loneliness and sometimes the blatant thing that they feel with being outcasted. And so, and not necessarily having somebody initiate and come to them and say, you know, hey, you know, let's cheer each other on. Let's be those accountability partners. The thing that I would say that came to mind when you said that, you were that for me before we ever formally decided to collaborate and to work together. Just because on Instagram over all these years, it was always us going back and forth with small, like, I know you was working on this thing, you know, where it's at. So if you don't have that yet, if you don't have that accountability partner or something that you do desire, be that for somebody else, right? And not necessarily the accountability piece, right? Unless you've come to that agreement with somebody, but the checking in with people and saying, hey, I see you and I see where you're going. So attracting what you desire, like be that person for other people. And you'll be surprised what might come from simply telling somebody from a genuine space that, hey, I see you and hey, keep going. And hey, what's going on with this thing?
No, 1000%. I agree. It doesn't have to be super formal at first. If that's not what, you know, what you need, of course, like everybody will need something different, but having a person is just so important, and being the person that you want to show up or creating the space that you want to be in, like I've done personally locally with our BIPOC doula meetup, it just goes so far, and you would be surprised how many people show up and raise their hand and say they were looking for the same thing. So yeah, I don't want to overwhelm folks with too many things. I think I'll leave it on this note. There definitely, for me, is now going to be a plan for how I'm going to re-emerge myself back into doula work, right? So what do I mean by that? I mean like the practical skills, knowledge, and information. So as a birth doula, I'm committing myself to staying in childbirth education, to hosting a doula training once a year, so that way I can experience doula training yearly again, right? And re-emerge myself in that information and in that space and get to know new doulas, but also just to make sure that I'm staying sharp and aware. And as a postpartum doula, I'm committing myself to this next coming up year, I think I'm probably going to take a newborn care specialist training because I want to go deeper in that area of doula work. And so just having some sort of plan. Are you going to read books? Are you going to listen to podcasts? Are you going to attend a training yearly? Are you going to attend a conference yearly? Like, what are you going to do to make sure that you stay immersed in the information and knowledge and also practical skills and practicing the skills that really take you far in your doula business and that you are using all the time as you support clients. I think in the BIPOC doula meetup as well, we're going to start doing a doula skills lab because I'm crazy about Grey's Anatomy. And on Grey's Anatomy, they have a skills lab for all of the doctors. And so I want to create something like that for doulas in the BIPOC doula meetup. So we'll probably practice comfort measures and go over some things. And I'll probably partner with one of the four or five midwives that I know locally in order to carry that out. So just thinking through some of those things on how you can stay fresh and refreshed and confident in the knowledge, skills, and information that we have so we can confidently give those to clients. So just want to leave with that because we hardly ever talk about like the practical side, and I do want to talk about that more.
Yeah. Well, girl, let me come up to Ohio talking about, that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. Y'all, comfort measures, I know that's the big one.
We're doing
so,
it in January.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Tickets, January plane tickets. I'm coming up there because I wish I would have had more of that. So I really hope that y'all pull something from this for the people who are fresh on their journey, trying to think through some of those, you know, am I doing it right? Am I going on the right path? Am I thinking of all the things I need to think of? Because I know I was that overthinker. I think this episode is a really great foundational, just think through some of these things and see what's coming up for you. Because these are some of the heavy hitters that come up consistently along the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. We really, really appreciate it. Please leave a 5-star review if you have not already. If you have, then you can definitely share this episode with somebody who you know who could use it. Sharing is caring. And we will see you guys in the next one. Bye for now.
Bye, y'all.